Did someone die? Thank you. This meeting will be held in compliance with the open public meeting law and that the requirements of the law have been met with the posting of the meeting notice on the bulletin board filed with the borough clerk and forwarded to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Would all please rise for the pledge of allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call.
Mayor Longo.
Here.
Council President Brinchevik.
Here.
Councilman Guerra.
Here.
Councilman Lopez.
Here.
Councilman Morris.
Here.
Councilman Rossi.
Here.
Councilman Speed.
Here.
Okay, we've got our approval of our minutes from December 10th, 2024, regular meeting. A motion?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good. The January 7th, 2025, regular meeting minutes, a motion to accept them?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. The January 14th, 2025, regular meeting minutes, I need a motion?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And finally, the January 14th, 2025, executive session minutes, in a motion to accept those? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good. All right, now, we're gonna get on with, I'm assuming what everyone's here for. The exciting business we have at hand.
Budget transfer.
First, I'd like to call up Captain Giannata.
What is that called when I didn't have that name? You're putting on all my after the first question.
I, Jason Giannata.
I, Jason Giannata.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
Of the United States of America.
Of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And I will bear faithful faith.
And I will bear faithful faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
And to the governments.
And to the governments.
Established in the United States.
Established in the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
On the authority of the people.
On the authority of the people.
So help me God.
So help me God.
And further solemnly swear.
And further solemnly swear.
That I will impartially.
Impartially.
And justly.
Justly.
Perform all the duties of the police.
Perform all the duties of the police.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Thank you. Chief, you want to make a brief statement or?
No, we'll wait till after. Very good. Lieutenant Schwartz.
Okay. Lieutenant Schwartz, front set.
Guys, my way.
I, Jesse Schwartz.
I, Jesse Schwartz.
I solemnly swear.
I solemnly swear.
That I support the Constitution.
That I support the Constitution.
Of the United States of America.
Of the United States of America.
Constitution.
The Constitution.
Of the State of New Jersey.
The State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear full faith.
I bear full faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
To the governments established.
The governments
established in the United States.
The United States.
And in the state.
And in the state.
Under the authority of the people.
Authority of the people.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Further solemnly swear.
Further solemnly swear.
solemnly swear.
That I will impartially.
That I will impartially.
And justly.
And justly.
Perform all the duties or under that.
Or under that.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Captain.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to, thank the mayor and council, thank everybody for showing up today. It truly means a lot to me to have so many people here. It's an honor to be sworn in tonight as chief of this amazing group of men and women here. They are, without a doubt, phenomenal, and they are the best in the county, and probably then some. Thank the prosecutor and all the other chiefs in the county that showed up. Fire department, EMS, OEM, everybody under the sun. It really means a lot to me. What I would like to ask is, we can take a group photo with you guys in the background. It would be awesome if you guys could stand up for us. That way I got something awesome to put up on my wall.
Thank you.
Proclamation recognizing the Tasha Church Inn on her retirement. Whereas the Tasha Church Inn has served as the chief financial officer for the borough of Boundbrook from July 2020 to April 30th, 2025. And whereas throughout her tenure, the Tasha has demonstrated exceptional dedication, professionalism, and financial expertise, ensuring the borough's financial stability and transparency. And whereas she has played an instrumental role in development and management of the borough's budgets, fiscal policies, and financial plans, contributing to the economic strength of the community, and whereas Natasha has worked diligently to foster collaboration among borough departments, providing guidance and leadership in financial decision-making, and whereas Natasha's contribution will be remembered and appreciated for years to come as a reflection of her hard work and dedication. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Boundbrook, County of Somerset, State of New Jersey, hereby recognize and express their heartfelt appreciation to Natasha Kirchman for her dedicated service and leadership, and be it further proclaimed that the Borough extends its best wishes to Natasha. for a happy, healthy, and fulfilling retirement. Presented this day on the 25th day of March, 2025. Natasha, congratulations. All right, very good. Next, we're going to have a presentation on our audit. You make the presentation to be done by Mr. Sarna. Mr. Sarna, you want to come on up, or how do you want to handle it? Approach the mic, or?
I don't have Wi-Fi. It's not coming up, so I apologize. So if you can just.
Run through this? Yes, you can. I brought my colleague Nick Ashman from Head of Training Analysis. What we can do is go through what we have here. It's our 2024 operational review. We did a presentation in front of a couple council members in Jasmine back in December, but in front of everyone here, I think it makes sense for us to go ahead and jump into this. But Nick did a lot of the point work here, so I'll let him talk about our scope, what we looked at, and what the point of the operational review is about.
So overall, we looked at three different items: financial performance, organizational structure, and controls. Looking at financial performance, if there's any issues and trends in prior years of finances, to make sure that we're trending in the right direction. There's no issues in that sense. Organizational structure, looking at how we can kind of compare to other towns that we've worked with. As a firm, over 100 different municipalities in New Jersey. We've worked with those firms to make sure, or those municipalities, to make sure that the best financial practices are in place. And then some internal controls, just making sure that everything is in place there, and there's nothing that we think should be improved on. So that's the general scope of our operational review. Go into kind of our findings, what we saw overall, nothing, no major issues, no financial issues, nothing that we saw that was a major immediate issue. There are certain items that we look at when we look at any organization, municipality, commercial. We want to make sure that there are SOPs, DOPs, and DCGs. So, standard operating procedures, making sure that everybody in the organization at the borough, their tasks that they perform are in order, and they have them listed and documented. If they go on vacation, somebody else can backfill those positions. DOPs are detailed operating procedures. That's exactly a step-by-step, just an instruction manual for how to do that job. And then a BCP is a looking at
the business continuity plan. So in the event of a natural disaster or something like that, that there is a continuation of government affairs and government business.
We saw that more so with Sandy, obviously.
Here by the...
Yep, something that you would not expect to happen. Just coming in, making sure that there is enough information in place that everybody can kind of keep going on what they say. So our first recommendation is just segregation of duties, making sure that there's not just one person in charge of setting up a purchase order and then purchasing that item and getting it in place and receiving it. That's something, again, we just do with every organization that we have. Recommendation two is the SOPs and DOPs, again, just setting up the standard operating procedures for everybody that works in the borough, making sure that their roles are defined, and making sure that everything that they do is structured and documented and reviewed on a yearly basis.
That way, when someone does come in to fill that role, right, that there's a plan in place. That way, there's so many times that you go to a municipality and you get new folks, and then things stop, and book and records go behind, and things like that. So it's so important that you could be ahead of this by building out these SOPs and BCPs when disasters happen.
Recommendation three, again, just BCP, just having that in place. Business continuity plan. recommendation for, this is something, again, we just kind of recommend to everybody, building up your capital improvement plan. If there's any long-term projects that you know that is going to come down the road, just having something in place and starting to think about that before it becomes an issue, and that's something that we have to work on. So it's more so, again, not something that we found in the results of the data, it's just more of looking 5 to 10 years down the road and making sure that that's in place. Cost-saving operations, recommendation number 5. This is something, again, something we do with everybody. There's always opportunities to save costs and best practices that we kind of implement between different organizations. A part of that is always shared services programs, different townships, counties, doing programs that you can do within the county as opposed to housing everything within the municipality themselves. Looking at recommendation 6, this is uses of temporary funds. Temporary funds are selling off different things that we
municipal assets.
Yeah,
that would be one example of that. Just be careful with this. I mean, we see so many towns that found themselves in a hole because they used American Rescue Plan money to plug operational holes, right? And now that money's gone. And now they're looking at it, they're staring down the abyss. And that's just not, you know, that's just one easy example I can use because every municipality and every domicile in New Jersey received this money. But it's never to fall into that trap of like, when you sell off an asset to plug an operational hole with it, that should be more so employed into capital or debt servicing or paying down that future debt. I can't stress that enough of anywhere we go.
Recommendation 7 is going to be the just current fund balance. This is very similar to the capital fund balance, looking at your fund balances and just kind of doing a projection down the road and looking at a 5 to 10 year projection, making sure that any of the larger expenses that you're going to incur, you are planning for and they're in the budget and you're kind of thinking about it before they become a larger issue. Our last recommendation, policy updates. This is, again, something we recommend to everybody. Cybersecurity plans, of course, that's a huge issue right now. So just making sure that the cybersecurity plan is in place. Capital plan, budget forecasting, and budget status reports are kind of all in place. So just having policies in place to make sure that when you have an issue or something that comes up, it's not something you're getting surprised by. Just really focusing on the cybersecurity piece of that. So again, really nothing that we found. There was no immediate issues, no concerns financially, long term. Just things that we best practices that we've seen as a firm with other companies and municipalities that we've dealt with that we want to make sure are in place and we'll make sure that our borough is in good shape moving forward.
So you had no recommendations that what you went through. Are you unsatisfied with the requirements of your audit or whatever the standards were? Is that
I make recommendations of things that like a business continuity plan, to make sure that something like that is in place. Again, when we say, is that immediate, that's something that, not everyone has that right now, but I do think you'd be ahead of the curve by employing something like that.
Well, I think my big question, and I don't know if this was covered, I thought it was, the use of surplus.
Yeah.
Do you have a percentage of how much you should be using and how much you should anticipate additional revenue to pay the rising cost of everything in your findings in your report?
I don't know if you put it in here right now, but I can tell you that we generally recommend that you, you set aside 10 to 20% of your actual budget into keep it into your fund balance, right? Like somewhere, and you should establish that in your cash management plan. I think that's just something that you can leave for future use and review that cash management plan on a yearly basis. It's something you guys do in terms of cash management plan, but in terms of fund balance, and I would make sure that I leave that between 10 and 20%.
tend to go with the lower level with some of that, so if you look at like a utility fund, where like at the lower levels, there's different levels that we want to go to, depending on the needs too, right? If you know something's coming up, obviously. What's the fund balance that we have set aside now?
Natasha, do you?
Yes, we have $8 million at the closing of December, and we're anticipating over $2 million in this year budget. So we're still within their recommendation to 10 to 20%.
So you mean $6 million, the remaining?
It's going to be 5.5.
So that means.
So yeah, we own a high end of the 20%.
My correct recommendation is 10 to 20, and we're currently at 8.
Currently at 80% of it.
Well, if our fund balance is $8 million.
Right, but your budget's $20 million.
Your budget's 20.
So 20% is 20.
And you're leaving about 5 back.
Right, so you.
So it's a little, if anything, slightly high, but not like crazy high. But it's a little, you're at 25%.
So I just also wanted to make sure that you touched on the trend of revenue in New Jersey.
Yeah, it's a tough spot right now in terms of getting revenue, right? Energy receipts have been flat trend. I think our senator can speak to that. But in all fairness, as these things stay flat, shared service opportunities, I know they're tough to get. I mean, in small municipalities, it is a challenge for every one of you guys to maximize what you do. So what does that leave you with? It really leaves you with the levy and maybe additional fees and things like that. I mean, there's not a whole lot of stuff. And then pilot agreements as they come on board. I mean, that's not that you want to rely on all of that, but I mean, that's the best bet in terms of bringing in new revenue.
Anyone else? Very good. Thank you, John.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're now going to proceed with the presentation of our 2025 municipal budget.
Not working, right? Yeah. No problem.
Josh, if you want to help us.
Yes.
Can't plug in your laptop. What a hot spot.
So, I'm going to be very brief.
It's going to work much better if you show
Delay.
All right. That's on. So the 2024 year end was very positive for our fund group. We closed the books with $8 million in our fund balance, which allowed us to anticipate a higher number in 2025 budget and give more to the residents to keep the taxes as low as possible. But even with all of that, we still were in need to raise taxes close to $500,000 this year. One of the reasons is some of their revenue, some of the fact that Joe mentioned about state aid and some of the other revenues that we will go through had to be decreased in 25 budget. And our fees, our licenses, they all stayed pretty stable, so there was no other rooms to increase, so we had to increase taxes. Our 2025 assessment, it went up compared to 2024, which still implies, you know, shows that the rateable base is very strong in Bamberg and the houses appreciate for the residents. And that's an indicative of the average home went from 418,000 to 447,000 for the residents. The municipal tax rate went down from 0.765 to 0.753. The reason it's down is even with the taxes a little bit up is because our assessed values are higher than in 2024. And an impact on an average house, if you compare $418,000 taxes in 2024 to $447,000 home in 2025, is $169. As I mentioned, the local taxes are up $459,000, and we already discussed the tax rate from 0.765 to 0.753. If you look at the pie chart, the local purpose taxes are about 34% of all the taxes that we collect and then distribute to the business improvement districts, the school, and to the county. County being the largest user of our tax fund, and it's 50% of the total levy that we collect. Now let's talk about revenue a little bit more in detail. We're anticipating $1 million more in surplus than we did in 2024. Partially because our surplus in current fund is substantially higher than we had a year before. But we also need to be careful in future years, because if we set on trend to anticipate $2.3 million in the budget, in 3 years we will not have any surplus. So while we are anticipating higher number this year, we need to spend the next year planning on how we're going to raise other revenues, come up with another revenue sources, so we don't have to take $2.3 million out of surplus for the 2026 budget. The local revenue is down, and primarily it's down because we are no longer using the money that we receive from the New Jersey American Water that we're required to pay the debt service, and we are almost done with the money as the proceeds we collected to pay the debt service. And state aid is down because last year the state provided us with municipal relief funds, and it's not available this year, so our state aid is down $116,000. the grants are not really a true indication because it's only beginning of the year and we receive the grants throughout the year. So by the time the books are closed, we could potentially have more grants awarded to us. The delinquent taxes are relatively stable. Our collection rate went up, which means we have less taxes left to collect as delinquent taxes. So we're anticipating a lower revenue. While it helped 24 and boosts the fund balance, and it's a great job on the tax collector's behalf, it also leaves us less money to collect in 2025. And we discussed the local purpose taxes up $459,000. And overall budget is up $600,000, which is 2.97%. So while overall budget is 2.97%, that's how it breaks down in the appropriation. Our salaries and wages are up on average 4.6%. Other expenses are up 6%. Statutory charges, which is our pension and social security and DCRP, which is a form of pension, is on 8.5%. And our debt service is up 4%. And reserve fund collected up is 9%. But overall, because the grants are down and capital contributions compared to last year is down, overall, it's up 2.97%. So what does Borough Boundary do to control the cost? I mean, we obviously, anytime there's a shared service opportunity, we take it. For example, in 2025 budget, there's a new shared service that we collect solid waste for the Board of Education. And if that goes well, then we can look and see maybe we can collect solid waste for other municipalities around us to increase additional income for us. But this year, it's a Board of Education. We perform work in-house, and that doesn't mean me working remote. That means Dale developing road plans on his own without hiring engineers or picking up solid waste, because the last time the bid came up, it was so high that we brought it back in-house so we can do it cheaper. We combine several positions to be held by one person. A perfect example is Jasmine. We used to have the administrator and the municipal clerk, and now we have one person performing both jobs. And every time there is an opportunity, we take a look and see if that could be done. I'm not going to rehash, but obviously with the local municipal portion of taxes that we do, we provide quite a few services to the residents. We provide police protection, fire operating support for fire and EMS. We do trash recycling, roads paving, brush and leaf pickup, garbage pickup, park maintenance and upkeep. And last year was the first year we started providing emergency services, ambulance services for our residents. And not only we started with 12 hours a day, and now we are doing it 17 hours a day. So we are expanding. On today's agenda, you have a capital bond ordinances for the 2025 capital projects. The down payment for that is in 2025 budget. The main points of this capital ordinance is improvements to the roads, improvements to the cell block and the police department, purchase of radios for our fire department, emergency management, police already have their radios, improvements to the library, it's the first step in improving our library, and purchase of small equipment for the fire department and the administration. If you have any questions, I will gladly answer them.
You said our costs increased.
Other expenses up 6%.
Other expenses
yeah.
are up 6%. Was that inflation driven, or was it, anything in particular?
Some of it is inflation driven, some of it is just cost of doing business. I mean, Dale picks up the garbage, and his cost went up $3 a ton for the garbage disposal. They might have an inflation driven, for me, it's just the cost increase, you know, to dispose of the garbage. You know, our shared services for the health department and our shared services for the recycling and everything slowly going up. It's not drastic, you know, 100% change in every line item, but each small change ends up.
So what was our increase in healthcare costs?
Oh, that's almost 17%.
17%. So that's been about the average lately?
So 2023, the cost went up 25%, and 2024, it only went up 6%. And this year, it went up 17%. And I know Jasmine is working, trying to find cheaper health insurance so we can somewhat control the cost 2026 forward.
So that's 17%. What's that in terms of dollars? Do you have any idea?
Yes, I do. So our cost is about $2 million, so 17% is about $400,000 in the neighborhood.
So we have a $20 million budget and...
Yeah, the health insurance is about $2 million.
Over $2 million.
Yes.
Yes. How about our pension costs? Are we still...
So the pension is what I have as a statutory charge, and it's up 9%.
So the bulk of our increases...
It's two line items that are very hard to control.
So my other question is, it seems like redevelopment is such a hotbed issue here. Do you know what the numbers are, how much we contribute from our pilot programs?
Yes, it's 1.5 million. Hold on a second. Let me open the page. Our pilots is 1.55 million in this budget of revenue.
You have what was last year?
1.1.
And that's just strictly pilot dollars going into it, not as like parking fees and
the parking fees have an additional revenue to us. We collect another $142,000 in parking fees. This is the first year we put that line item in the budget.
So what's your rough estimation of what the pilot programs in Mountain Brook contribute to our...
So if you think that our budget is about $20 million and the parking fee in pilots with 1.8, it's a little bit under 10% of our revenue that comes from it.
So almost...
$1.8 million, $1.7.
So the loss of revenue for... The additional expenses this year of what was another $500,000 resulted in a $169 tax increase for the average.
Right.
So what's the number if say we had no pilot programs in Mountain Brook?
We would need to raise another
parking lots the way they were. What would be the average tax increase this year?
You would need to raise another almost $2 million, and your penny is $44,000, right?
Right.
$44,000. So it will be $45,000. It will be additional $2,000, roughly?
Each.
Right?
The
like
person?
You would also have to take the
kind
of, like,
right.
Not that you're getting a lot.
In a neighborhood.
There's no
building improvement on. Yeah. Well, land is already in the tax base.
So for the average homeowner who has a house worth $450,000, they would face a $2,000 increase?
That doesn't make sense.
That's a pretty
That's possible. Too much for 3 seats. So half a million gives me 169, so 2 million times 4, so another $800,000. $800,000.
So if you owned a home that was twice that, you'd be paying $1,600 more, twice the
same. Right. Mm-hmm.
Have you done a calculation on how much the additional development, which has increased the population in town by roughly 25% in the last 10 years, has cost the town in additional services and capital development, capital improvements, including the purchase of multiple buildings to build a parking lot for developers after selling a municipal lot?
I definitely have not done.
So do we have any idea whether this additional pilot money that's coming in is merely offsetting the additional cost to the town or taxpayers?
That looks something that you would probably need to conduct a study, like request a study from a company that handles that type of thing.
So we have no idea, just benefit a lot.
I do know that one benefit that Bumble did receive from Pilot is when I started here in 2020, you were at the top of how much you can budget. You had 36 cents left in your cap, which means you couldn't hire a clerk, you couldn't, I can't even say, like, you couldn't buy an extra pencil. And pilots allow you a dollar for dollar to increase your cap. So because of the pilots, we were able to increase our cap, which means we're allowed to budget additional funds that are needed, like Dale pick up solid waste, and, you know, police department have an added extra police officer to potentially might serve larger population, but add a police officer and things like that that we weren't able to do in 2020.
I guess, and a similar question, I guess going back to the prior councils, I understand there was a plan to close down a portion of Hamilton Street where the borough obtained a $2 million grant from the state.
Okay.
Correct, right? And I believe during our budget discussions and finance committee discussions, it was revealed that in addition to the $2 million state grant, the town was looking at spending $3 million to close down that block of Hamilton. Is that correct?
I know that there was some discussion about closing Hamilton Street, but I don't know the finances of it because it never materialized.
Okay, so you don't know whether the prior council was funding pursuing pilots to close the budget gap before you spent $3 million
to shut down the mall. Right. Okay. Just worry again that just jazz news.
I don't recall something like that.
Can we address that from the finance committee?
We talked about parking lot during the finance committee. I don't remember talking about Hamilton.
I asked about Hamilton Street, about the $2 million grant, and if we could move it to something else, which doesn't look like it could. And like I said, it's really going to cost $2 million to shut down one block. I was told it was going to cost a total of $5 million, it was only $200 million. No? Okay.
I was there and I don't know.
No?
No.
I was probably asking any questions for you that you didn't either.
Nope. But I'm going to ask him now, on the parking lot that was bought by the town, and now the demolition, what could be like the total investment that we could have?
So we bought three different lots.
Yeah.
So between the three different lots, we issued the bond ordinances for $2.5 million. We haven't spent the entire $2.5 million, but we authorized the debt for $2.5 million. That purchase and demolition, I know Jasmine mentioned that it's not enough to demolish all of the buildings that are on this lot. We demolished some, but not enough to demolish all of them. But we also collected $320,000, and there's another $160,000 due from one of the developers toward that parking lot. So after all, $480,000 will be contributed by that developer toward the parking lot.
So then we're going to increase the revenue from parking.
Right, but we also have a revenue in this budget where we collecting fee for the parking from the developers. Some, you know, bought 10 parking lots, some bought 15, some bought 34, different ones, and we need to provide the parking spots to sell to the developers in some way, shape, or form.
So other than the parking lot, which was purchased, buildings were purchased to address a parking issue downtown, that everyone agrees is a parking issue. Other than that project right there, and I haven't heard any other solutions of how to address that parking solution, that parking problem that everybody says is there, mm-hmm. other than this. What other additional, have we hired more cops? Have we hired more DPW? What additional, in this speech, so ways that you hired your...
We've hired two police officers, but Chief was always stating that his department is short of employees, and we hired them through the county program where the first year the county paid for the police officer, and then we're picking them up on their second year of the police employment.
I believe it was in response to the study we have done to know how much it was down. Question on the parking lot. So I believe that prior to purchasing, about the same time of purchasing, the three properties over Maiden, or between Maiden and Mountain, The borough sold the parking lot on Main Street, is that correct?
That must predate me.
Yeah.
That was municipal lot number five, yeah, that was municipal lot number five.
Wasn't, I believe the math comes out to about $15,000 a spot, is that correct?
I think that's the discussion you guys had during the budget meeting.
No one remembers that.
Right, no, I remember that discussion.
So with the properties that were purchased between Maiden and Mountain, do we know how many parking spots can be accommodated in that lot?
I don't know, but I, if I remember correctly, what you guys discussed at the budget meeting, I think somebody threw the number 90, but I don't know how many.
But we would need a, has there been an engineering study, a planning study, anything done with regard to how many lots, how many spots we're going to get in those lots, and what the total dollar amount the town's going to be in for per spot when we finally get that parking lot?
Based on the last conversation, Councilman, I'm just directing me to get that information.
Right, so in other words, the prior council purchased the property without knowing how much it's going to cost taxpayers, or knowing how many spots we're going to ultimately get out of that lot, right?
Well, certainly it was to address a known parking issue with not many other options for purchasing property.
My concern is we're selling existing municipal lots and then subsidizing parking for developers who aren't being required to have their required parking spots on site. That's my concern. I'm not against parking. I just don't want the town to be getting the short end of the stick if we're building parking.
So this budget has nothing, no money allocated for capital purposes for parking.
Initially it came before us with about $200,000 to go towards the demolition of those buildings, and that's when the whole issue came up of, we don't know how many spots are going to be able to be put there, how much it's going to cost or what revenue. But I think that now we're doing our due diligence after the town has already bought these properties. So I think we're doing the whole process backwards, but unfortunately most of us are on council when that decision was made. So I agree that the parking problem, I think we have to address intelligently and to the benefit of residents, not the developers.
Well, certainly if you find out what that number is, where it's too much that we purchased that property, we can put it up, and then I think the rest of the council would be very interested in finding out what the new solution was.
I mean, that's the question why it wasn't done before we purchased the property.
I don't know that answer. I would imagine those are three properties that we knew we could get some parking, additional parking, whether it was 80 spots or whether it was 100 spots or whether it was whatever the number was. It addressed an issue that we had to address. So with the lack of another answer for it, which I'm very willing to listen to address the parking, this is what was the prior council did. So, but that,
I also know that we have a mixed-use building on another lot on the other end of the town that used to be a substantial parking lot. So I don't know when the concern came about parking, but.
And actually, I have a quick question. You said that we have $2.5 million of debt. So was there additional? No. There was the bond was or bond ordinance approved $2.5 million for the purchase and the demolition.
Right.
Was there?
It was two ordinances. $1.3 million and $1.5 million.
Yes. Yeah. Totaling 2.5.
Yeah.
Was there? Is that just the amount that was going to be bonded and that we put 10% down in addition to that?
That's
the total.
Right.
Okay.
5% went down and the rest.
Okay. And now the other question I have is that the for those three properties, though there are parking spaces that are planned to be in those three properties that are already committed, that the borough is committed to provide to in a developer agreement?
Not specifically to that location, but in general, the borough is required to provide those a certain number of park spaces per a previous
lease parking. And do we have enough spaces without this property?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, anybody else? Questions for the council? Anybody from the public wish to approach and comment on the budget?
Good evening, everyone. Eva Gomez, 516 West 2nd. On the previous council that you mentioned before, I can shed a little bit of light on some of the numbers that were being mentioned here. First, I'll start with the parking lot. That should be the easy one. Two parking lots were sold. One was on East Main Street over here. That was sold for, I believe, $347. There was the other parking lot next to Torpedoes there. That was sold for $1 million. That's 1.3, let's call it almost 1.4. Then the agreement with Redwood here on Hamilton Street, that agreement covered $734,000 that they are supposed to pay, covering the $2 million of the exchange for the property to make additional parking on the other side. I believe there was some demo, but that would be covered eventually over time with parking fees. So what did we sell off? 36 parking spots, 20 over there, 16 over here. Dale, I believe, did an initial layout for the parking lot over there with 86 parking spots and the potential to go up, right? So solving all the parking problems for Fountain. So there's your parking crisis solved and paid for. Number two, Hamilton Street. The total cost of that was supposed to be $2.3 million. I think there's a T&M report out there for that. We had $2 million from the federal and an additional $1 million from the DOT that was transferred over from the train station, where we were able to cover that. We originally were going to cover that. Transit eventually came back, covered that. So the $1 million was there. So we had $3.3 million. To cover the entire cost of that street. So, in fact, we haven't paid anything out of pocket for any of these properties. The sale of the properties, you can't really use a per spot calculation, considering that it's an appraisal, fair market appraisal, which we have multiple appraisals, just to ensure, because I believe council, I believe that's the law, right? You have to have appraisals in order to sell municipal property. So, all done above board. In fact, I think it's all on the record. So, a little bit of research would have given you your answer. With those, I think that's all the answers that you were looking for from previous council. And as far as police officers, we heard from our chiefs of police, going back to Genome, that they were missing four police 10 years ago, and we didn't have the budget for it. That was 10 years ago when this municipality had $143,000 in front of a balance. Today, thanks to the work that was done by the previous council, we started $8 million, and afterwards we got to $5 million. So the numbers should be working out in your favor and in favor of this community. I think the numbers should also, I think it's important for this council, Mr. Mayor, to let the public know exactly how much they're saving, because we all often hear that the pilots aren't helping them. So these numbers are being important to let them know. And that's how everything was paid. That's how all these plans were accounted for. If you have any questions, that's it. Thank you, sir.
Anybody else from the public? No one else? Then I need a motion to approve this year's budget.
Motion.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. We've got a budget amendment we have to approve. Resolution 2025-277, a resolution approving the 2025 municipal budget amendments.
Okay.
To introduce the budget amendment for the public. So that's just an introduction for the amendment to the budget. And the public hearing will be on the 8th. certainly. So I need a motion to, for that?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
A roll call.
Council President Brinchman?
Yes.
Councilman Viera?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Spee?
Yes.
Okay, very good. The public hearing will be on the 8th. And now we'll jump down to greetings and comments and invitation for discussion from anyone from the public. Just come up and state your name.
Hugo Gomez, 516 West 2nd Street, current chair of Van Brook Sid. Just a question, Mr. Gremlin, you received four names. Were they your appointments?
No. There are four additional.
Yeah, four names.
No.
Not your name? Okay. Thank you very much. That's all I need to know.
They were unanimously voted on by council.
That's okay. I think your ordinance says that the mayor picks. And doesn't even step from council.
Just to verify, it wasn't unanimous. I took people voting for this.
But that's okay. The answer was no, those names were not provided by the property authority.
Anyone else?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm sure you guys know who I am, Natalie Panera. I represent the Bound Brook Revitalization Partnership, the nonprofit district management corporation that's designated to serve the special improvement district in our downtown. The BBRP was established by the taxpayers of Bound Brook with a clear purpose: to take direct responsibility for the growth, vibrancy, and economic health of our downtown. We were formed to act with the borough, not beneath it, bringing together our residents, business owners, and property stakeholders to drive the kind of transformation that only local stewardship can accomplish. In just the past year, our organization has seen remarkable growth. If you've looked at our annual report, our data, I think, speaks for itself. We've expanded our programming, deepened our relationships with small businesses, and elevated Bound Brook's visibility in ways that are garnering regional attention. We recently were in receipt of an $11,000 grant to support the excellent work that we did during Riverfest, and we're excited to bring that forward again this year. This momentum is not an accident. It's the result of dedicated work, community trust, and a governance structure that values transparency, inclusion, and stakeholder input. We recently became aware of a recommendation and possible upcoming effort to dissolve the Special Improvement District. Any effort to override our bylaws or dissolve the SID would undermine not just our work, but the voice and investment of the very people this district was designed to serve. The resolution passed recently changing the composition of our board does just that. The unilateral removal of four of our duly seated board members, two of whom are women of color, not only circumvents the process outlined in our bylaws, but effectively erases the diverse leadership that we've built with intention. This is a time to build on our progress, not dismantle it. Let me be clear. Any action to dismantle the SID would be deeply harmful to the small business owners who depend on our service. Over a dozen of them are here tonight in support, and many of them have submitted letters attesting to the real measurable impact we've had on their livelihoods, and I have copies for all of you tonight. We urge the council to schedule a hearing of our 2025 budget and affirm your commitment to the SID's continued success. Let's continue this work together to keep Bound Brook's downtown thriving. Thank you. And to address the concern regarding an engineering study to look at additional parking, which a lot of our constituents here are here to comment on, I'm sure that if we were to work together, we could find a way to dedicate or allocate some money from the SID's budget to help subsidize this type of a study. That is the partnership that we look to establish and to continue to leverage moving forward. We kindly and respectfully thank you for your time and ask that you would consider hearing our budget so that we can continue to do the good work that we've established this year. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions.
Sure, can I just pass them down?
Do you know the borough ordinance says appoints members to the SIM board?
The mayor does, but that's in direct conflict with the state SIM legislation.
Not to be disagreeable, but I just looked at the ordinance and it says the council. Beyond that, prior to 2024, what was the procedure for the board, the SIS board, to have new members appointed or vacancies filled?
So the process that's been in effect since I started working for the Special Improvement District has been that we advertise vacancies. We send out a press release to let people know that we are seeking board members for the Board of Trustees. They're instructed on how and when to submit their resumes. At that point in time, we assemble a committee, which is either the nominating committee or the executive committee, who reviews those resumes and then makes a general recommendation to the board on which board members to appoint to the BVRK. No, they were submitted. The council just never approved them.
Not last year, prior to last year.
I can't speak to prior to last year. In 2023, when I started work for the BBRP, they were submitted. Last year, they were submitted. This year, when requested, we sent them in. And those board members that we submitted were duly appointed by the Bound Brook Revitalization Partnership, and they followed all of the requirements that were necessary to have them appointed.
Reported current chair of the SIF?
Abel Gomez is the chair of the SIF.
And did the practice, I believe, and you may disagree, but I believe the practice is submitting the board, the SIF board, to the borough for approval ceased kind of coinciding with Mr. Gomez's exit from council. Is that correct?
So I cannot speak to that. What I do know is that if you go through the resolutions that are on record approving the board, that practice is very inconsistent, and there are only resolutions from 2023 and 2020 approving the board.
So are you here today challenging or objecting to the current council's application of the borough ordinance as it's written?
So I think my message was very clear, and I am not in the business of repeating myself. I asked for collaboration with the council because I think that there is room for us to all work together for the growth of the Special Improvement District.
Ultimately, by not enforcing the ordinance, that's fair.
I think our attorney sent a letter that was very clear that your ordinance is in conflict with the Special Improvement District legislation, and that as a 501c3, we are to operate independently in order to achieve our goals and the goals of the borough with the Special Improvement District.
I understand.
And because of that, it in effect, right, is not appropriate for the council to remove board members and handpick the members that they wish to serve. It was not provided to us. The process by which those board members was selected was not provided to us. We have no resumes. We don't know what the qualifications of these individuals are. And you cannot expect for us to just incorporate these board members onto our board because they, in effect, change the composition and diversity of our board. Right? And if you look at the business owners, can all the business owners in the room please raise their hand? If you look at what those business owners look like, right, they look like me. They look like the board member that you guys are seeking to remove that followed the appropriate procedures to serve and represent the business community. Your recommendations remove a developer that has made a significant investment in this community and contributes significantly to the SID, and replaces him with what? Somebody who owns a multifamily home in the district?
Wait, Which developer are you referring to?
John Flanagan. Right? We're removing a woman, Albertina, raise your hand, who owns two businesses in this district.
No, it's being removed. Vacancies are being...
No, they're being removed because my email communications with Jasmine, I very clearly asked the question. So by virtue of this resolution, you are saying that these four board members who are qualified and followed all of the procedures to be reinstated as board members can no longer serve? And I was told that is correct.
I, too, am not in the business of repeating myself, but I will say that those were vacancies.
They were not vacancies. Because it's not our fault nor our problem that this council did not follow their own procedures, right, and approve the board members that we submitted in 2024.
I'll refer you back to the ordinance.
Please do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak from the public?
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Councilman. I guess a new business to Bambrook. I'm the owner of Total Taxes, which is a franchise. Not new to Bambrook, though. I work in Chase Bank in Bambrook for 7 years. Ever since then, I fell in love with Bambrook, and I always wanted to open up a business in Bambrook. And I am part, and I've been part of the commercial lending world, and I work with a lot of developers. And I had the opportunity to see the growth of many cities, like Somerville, Plainfield. In fact, I was part of the financing of many projects in Plainfield. And what I'm seeing right now, new, but I see the support that this group has given me to not only have a grand opening, but also support with other resources. So not to be political, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I'm in the Democratic Party or Republican, I am more worried about the experiencing growth, and I'm not seeing the opportunity here. Not because of the lack of the parking lot, because I would say I'm a hustler, I work really hard, I do what I need to do, but I do see the need of the support for the small businesses. Without the support on economic growth, social, we're not going to be able to attract business and keep people here in Bambrook. So if we're creating these businesses for people to want to shop, dine, and stay in Bambrook, are you not supporting us? What are we going to do? People are going to go shop in Somerville or in other areas because we don't have your support. So really call your attention. I don't really care what's going on the political parties, but I do see the need of the support for us business owners to continue growing.
Thank you. Okay. My name is Yolanda Romero. I'm Health Start Point. Bambrook has been my hometown for the last 30 years, and I have my business with my husband for the last 12 years. I don't want to say a lot tonight because I don't know how many times I've been coming here to talk to you all guys, waiting for support. And my people and me, we are ready to grow. We're not leaving Main Street. Why are we not leaving Main Street? Because we're struggling. We've been through everything on Main Street. We work hard. We respect this town. I love Bambrook. This is my house. We need support. We do everything that we can to survive. But it's not about to survive, because it's our families. We have to struggle with this situation every single day. From Monday to Sunday, we're still having the same problem with the parking. Can we do better? We have to come together as a family. Have you seen how clean downtown looks now? Honestly, thank you for being here. It's very easy for us to interact in Spanish. I must go to know to language. But when it comes about to communication, Ella is a girl which she just came to Bamboo, but she is doing her best to help us. We're ready to go. I will stand here for hours and say how hard it's been for us. What I want to say is, we are ready to grow. Thank you.
My name is Mary Swarbrick, and I live on Chestnut Street, and I've been on the board of the Boundbrook Revitalization Partnership since the first meeting. And I want to tell you, at that first meeting, we picked our board, and we gave the names to the council, and it all went through, and no one ever asked us from that moment forward, because the Title 40 is pretty clear about what powers you have. And every year, we elected our board as needed when the terms were up. This went on till 2020, when all of a sudden, there was a change in politics, and we were served with a notice of who was supposed to be on our board. And then nothing the next year. And the next year. And we elected our board each year. And I want to make you aware of that, because that's exactly how it went down. Because we followed Title 40 that created the CID legislation. And if you want to have this kind of power, then you have to have a committee here in Borough Hall, and you're going to have to hire employees, and that will put the tax burden for those employees on all the taxpayers and their health benefits. And that's one of the reasons why Borough opted to have the CID, because those burdens are on us. And I think we've done a wonderful job, and since Natalie has come on the board, I can't tell you how wonderful it's been. Because of her expertise and what she's been able to do, and the programs that she's had for all the businesses, and just reaching out to the businesses. And Anna now, you know, is helping, and it has been transformational. And I really would hate to see this go, because everything is going to fall on the borough. Hiring new employees, paying their health benefits, trying to reinvent the wheel, when actually the wheel is actually going forward. This town is moving forward with the Boundbrook Revitalization Partnership. And the fact that all these people came out tonight to tell you that should tell all of you something. Thank you.
Move this down so I can, so you guys can hear me nice and clear. My name is Maricela Gallardo. I am the owner of the State Farm Agency here in Boundbrook. Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Council men and women. I am standing here today because this is a major change for myself. I opened my business 3 years ago, exactly 3 years ago, with the mere purpose of highlighting this community. State Farm, if you guys know, is a big national brand, but it is my agency who put that Boundbrook and their map. And the only reason why I was put in their map, because it was my only mission to make sure that I served that community that represented me, right? My one thing, my one purpose when I opened my office was to make sure I seek either an initiative or something that could allow me to bridge that gap between State Farm and my community. How could I do that? How could I be part of this community and give back? And at the same time, market myself. And I must say, I've never met anyone from the world, but I met people from the SID, from the BBRP. They were the ones that actually took me in and allowed me to brand myself and allowed me to, I'm sorry, to put my brand out there, but also give back to my community. I'm sure many of you have seen my red tent at different events that have gone on here. That has not been possible because of the borough. That has been possible because of the BBRP. It is, and unfortunately, I have to say this, it is a shame that I don't see myself represented right now before me, in front of you. At the same time, I mean, I'm the one member that you guys are trying to remove from the board. So what is there going to be left for me to do when it comes to my community and my mission in the city? So tonight, I ask you to please rethink the decisions that you guys are making, because it is not just affecting a budget, it is affecting our community, it is affecting our dream, it is affecting a mission. So with all due respect, I ask you to do that, not just for yourselves or for this city, but for the actual people that live here, the actual people that we're here to serve. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so we're going to move on to this.
My name is Joyce Phipps. I'm the director of Casa Esperanza. We're on West Union Avenue. And actually, I have questions. And it has to do with the borough ordinance in terms of the some of the changes in the zoning. What I noticed is that almost all of the changes had to do with the, pardon me, put my glasses on here, about this 25 feet of the ground floor of residential buildings facing Union Avenue. I'm just trying to figure out what the purpose of these changes are.
We're going to have a public comment specifically for that.
Oh, okay, very good.
Do you want to just wait?
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, certainly, thank all of you for coming out today, especially the small business owners. I'm not one myself, but we got a couple on the council, and they certainly let us know how hard they work, and we appreciate your hanging in with Bound Brook. And I've been here at other council meetings where it was kind of like, from the business owners, it was a negative tone, but some of the refreshing thoughts of, like, where we've come and where we're headed, it was pretty exciting to hear, so I appreciate that. And hopefully every council meeting we get these programs would be very nice.
Okay, engineer report,
Mr. All right, I just have to change topics. Councilman Lopez, I just want to thank you all for being here. I want to say to you that yes, you are represented here. I'm only one, but I'm fighting. I'm only one. I don't have the numbers, but I'm fighting for you. I'm really worried also because of the lack of diversity that's being intended to happen. About 80% of the businesses in downtown are owned by Hispanics or other minorities. However, in the proposed board, there's no Hispanic representation. So you are ignoring 80%. And yes, I know there's openings. I just don't know the process, because we never hear the process of getting those openings. I just know that Hispanic business owners were removed, and I didn't see any Hispanic names in the new board. If that's Mr. Lomas that will remain there, which kind of relates to the new ordinance. I know we're not talking about that, but it's kind of related because we see empty businesses on the area where the new ordinance will take place. And they haven't been filled 1-2 years, maybe more. But we want to make their own business, right? So who's going to show those businesses? That's one question. Now, I'm going back to the city, to the downtown. You are the ones that are making Bamboo survive business-wise. Bamboo is surviving business-wise because of you. And it's the one I told you before, I'm telling you. So trying to ignore you or trying to change is not right. We can try, and I think Natalie's words, I think somebody else's words that said that, I think I said it. Why don't we work together? I know you have the people for your board. Well, incorporate them. Put the orders that you want in there. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a big meeting where you guys come together with the people you want and set projects together in town. And let's unite the town instead of fighting. Look at their presentation here. Is that what you want? You sent some labor things in here, and I love you all. Don't get me wrong. But we need more representation. So let's get together. Let's work as a team. Team Bamboo will be great. Instead of dividing and taking personal politics, and I hate this person, so I'm going to do everything against that person because I hate that person. Let it go. Let it go. Let's move forward. Let's move forward. I don't see it that hard. We have a great team here, and I think we can accomplish great things together, but the vision is never good. So let's act instead of subtract. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're good?
Yep.
All right, very good. So just go to the library HVAC project. So the contractor's addressing the remaining punctual items now. There's been a number of discrepancies in plans. They're coming to an end, thankfully. So we'll be done with that project soon. The 2025 CDBG application, as discussed last meeting, I applied for the reconstruction of Park Place between Evergreen Avenue and Coddington Place. So I completed that application and submitted it for consideration, which we'll know sometime in May. The 22 and 23 road programs are still in the final stages with the state. Do have a couple concrete issues. I'm working with the state and the contractor on those projects. The 2024 road program, which was awarded in the fall right after construction season, that was East Franklin Street and West Franklin Street, basically a large portion of it from John to Livingston. And then you've also got Farm Lane with infrastructure improvements, full reconstruction except for curbing, and next from Schoolhouse to Watchung, and then an overlay of various streets including Crescent, Thomas, Hayward, Maple Avenue from Livingston to Windsor. So as I said, design is complete, project is advertised and awarded. DOT has concurred with the award. We did get contracts back from the engineer. So they've been executed, and I have a pre-construction meeting set for April 3rd. Once we have that, we'll be able to get moving with the project and physical construction itself. The last thing on my list is the pool project. Some of you are aware that we did start pouring the decking around the pool today. There was some preliminary work done yesterday, but once that decking gets completed and that concrete work will be completed this week, barring any unforeseen circumstances, the mining company that will come in and install the liner is waiting in the wings to come in next week. The liner is on site. So next week I anticipate the liner, the company is starting to put the liner in to install it. That'll take a couple weeks. And then all the electric lines have now been installed. We had to run a new line from the rec center over to the pool house. They're all in, everything's good. So I've set up a couple of amenities, the main drain, a couple odds and ends. We are in good shape. I fully expect this pool to be open, or I should say operational, April 30th. Again, as long as Mother Nature cooperates and throws a curveball with weather or temperature, the liner doesn't do well when it's really cold. So as long as we get good temperatures in that, I don't see why we can't have this pool being operational by April 30th and ready for May for various things in May. And that's my report for tonight.
Very good. Anyone on the council have a question for that? Okay, next one. Committee reports, Chair of Finance.
Well, most of Mike's committee report was handled by our CFO with the finances, with the budget, the capital budget. Highlights were brought up that with the annual road improvements and upgrades, replacements, the excited for the library, asbestos remediation, that's all been approved, and the new radios and everything for the fire department and the EMS, shockingly expensive but a necessary cost. My only committee is the SID, which I believe a couple of people have brought up tonight. Not sure what the business owners were told about what our plans were. It seems odd to me that only the four people you chose would be able to perform any of those duties. We as a council feel that the budget that the SID has is not benefiting the businesses as much as it should be. Looking at the finances, I saw over $26,000 was spent on a four-hour event for the tree lighting. And I get a call from a Rosina saying, my customers can't make it to the restaurant. I asked a couple of businesses, did this help you? This was $26,000 for 4 hours. It was an amazing event. It was a great community event. That's not the purpose that I read as for the SID. It's to benefit the businesses. There should be things like, you know, I reviewed the Perth Amboy SID. They operate on a much smaller budget with a city population of $55,000. I see what their functions are, their events. They have things that not, I mean, yes, everybody went to that event. And again, I'm not criticizing the event. The event was masterful. Just not seeming to be to help your businesses. So we thought a change was in order. I don't know if they told you that we're looking to just dissolve the SID and no funds would go, when in fact we want to see more effective use to directly benefit the businesses. This is not a community event fund. So, you know, I'd like to see the town. We could pick up some of those costs. We'd love to be able to have tree lighting and trunk or treat and everything else. Recreation used to do movies in the park. There's a lot of funding here. I go to these restaurants. I go to El Palacio. I've been to Patricia Sabor. I've been to La Reina Bakery. I go to the businesses. People up north, they say, oh, I don't go down there. I share it with everybody. I say, you have to go here. I show pictures. I say, this is great. The new Brazilian place. I love them all. I mean, again, I'm a fall about it. I did buy flowers. They were amazing. I shared pictures with that. Obviously, restaurants are more my niche. But I'm getting out. This is it's no secret there. But I love all of the different cuisine. I love talking to the people. I say, hey, how is business? How are things going? You know, I see, you know, there are parking issues. I went in the State Farm Agency. You were not there. I chatted with the people, and I walked in. I was like, everybody had a headset, and everybody was going. I'm like, you guys are really busy. This is awesome. This is awesome. And then I said, where do you park? And I got all different stuff. You know, they're battling the parking guy, and I'm like, oh, this, you know. I loved interacting with them. Don't take our actions as we're anti-business. I want more. I want restaurant week. I want to see where you come in and instead of spending $26,000 on a tree lighting event that the borough should be picking up, I'd love to subsidize a restaurant week where everybody gets flat rate meals for $10 off and let the SID pay the business owner so they don't lose the money. That's how we bring people in. Nobody's going to know about how great the stuff is down there unless we bring them for a business purpose. When I go down there for a tree lighting, I'm not looking to get a smoothie. I mean, eventually I might get something, But I want the funds to go toward the business, solely promotion of the business. I was hoping to work with most of the people that were there, but we're learning more and more. We're trying to follow the ordinance, and we're told, no, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. So I don't know if we'll be able to have the continuity I was hoping for, but understand, that's our goal. Our goal is not to hurt you, put you out. Our goal is to help you more than what is being happening. So to the extent we can do that, I'd love to do it. There was no meeting this past month because apparently there was no new business or anything. So I don't know anything more about that, but I did want to share our feelings on how we'd like to see it done.
Any questions for Council? All right, Chair of Public Works, Councilwoman
Brunswick. Yeah, just to touch upon what Dave was saying, I mean, we have wanted to see results downtown, and because we haven't seen those results for the businesses, we are looking to make changes. And we are supportive of the businesses. I frequent downtown. I live downtown. I live, you know, a couple blocks from downtown. So, you know, I hope you see some of these changes as being positive and not negative. So thanks, Dave, for your work on that. So Public Works, so we have a big event coming up in April, April 12th, the Battle of Bound Brook. So Public Works will be working on cleaning and beautification for that event. and then also some spring plantings. This is pretty much the same report as last month, but we hope to have things looking really good downtown for the battle. This is one of the largest events in the town. Now that the businesses are here, we had hoped to move that battle down Main Street to Hamilton Street so that the businesses could be involved, but that is not happening. The route is not changing, but I have flyers here tonight too, if you're interested in learning more about the schedule and how the town will be supporting the battle. And BBRP is also having their booze tour on that day, and the luncheon on Hamilton Street. The next committee is the Architectural Review Committee. We have a couple reports out there. We're just waiting for the Planning Board to hear these applications. One being April 10th for the America's Forest, up on Route 28 for a potential another apartment complex. Cultural Arts Committee, we met with the mural company Yendor last week, and we're going to be doing a property outreach to a few properties where these murals will potentially be created downtown. So I'll be working with Billy Mild on that, and we're also, the Cultural Arts, just supporting a band for the Battle of Bound Brook, the New Jersey Fifes and Drums, that will be entertaining the folks that come out to the event that day. The library, we're moving forward with the remediation of asbestos, and hope to be going out to bid in April for that remediation work. So the engineer is working on that currently. Planning Board, this meeting Thursday is canceled, but there's some upcoming hearings. And like I said, the next hearing is April 10th, and that is for the that's New Horizon Properties, and that's America's Forest up on Route 28. And then there's subsequent hearings after that that are still under review, about five of them or so. The Bound Brook Seniors, we met last week, was it? Before. There's a trip to the Amish farm out in Flemington, and that is on April 10th. So if anyone's interested in joining the seniors, we're looking for folks to join, and then there's that trip
that is scheduled for 8:10. And that's all I have.
Questions? Councilman Rossi, Chairman of the Public Safety.
Okay, I was going to ask our new chief to speak on some of the reports, but he's not here, so I can ask the new captain. Oh, I guess the captain's not here either. Anyway, so for sake of time, for everyone's time, I'm going to try and summarize, even though I have a lot of stuff to go through here, but I'm going to go through real quick some of the police call issues. We had 212 less calls for service from January to February. What I want to do is, instead of just going through these numbers every report, I'd rather look at trends. So I want to see what's, you know, going up and what's going down. Criminal disorderly arrests, we've had 6 less. It's a low number. It's 22, down from 28 the previous month. Motor vehicle violations, we have 57 less, down to 222. Parking violations, I guess the guy's been putting in some overtime there, so and it seems to be the hot topic today, parking, but we have 217 more parking violations issued since between January and February. Police vehicle mileage, which might coincide with that one, is up 502 miles since the previous year. Tavern complaints, we've had none in January. We've only had 3 in February, which is really good. And prisoners housed, we have 23 total for the year, with 13 in January and 10 in February. So it was a minus of 3 there. The Community Police Alliance, they had 33 referrals, and that covers issues such as domestic violence, housing and food issues, mental health, substance abuse, youth, and aging. So it's various, you know, community reach programs. So they're doing really, really well on that. Let's see what else we can do here. The DARE program has just started in school. They are also doing the Driver's Ed Think Fast, which the officers are there helping the Driver's Ed kids and kind of putting the correct mindset in their brains when they're learning how to drive and not doing stupid stuff on the road. So again, it's great stuff they're doing there. Detective Burrow, just 3 new cases, 10 closed cases total, and 3 closed by arrest. I have the list of those. I don't know if anyone wants to hear that. Like I said, lack of time. Let's just keep going here. Yeah, and that's just the talent complaints. And yeah, that's it for police. Out of all that, I think I summarized that pretty well. Fire department, again, go through these guys real quick here. So we had 90 fire calls. The one major fire event was the fire on Bosler Avenue 3 or 4 weeks ago, I guess that was. The new for the fire department, the new rescue is finally getting delivered tomorrow, approximately 5:30 p.m. at Station 3 on Bosler Ave. If anybody would like to go and watch that whole process as they dismantle the prior truck and start building out the new truck. I don't know if, will you be there, Councilman?
What's that?
I just wasn't sure if you were part of that whole process or not. And the water rescue team is starting their training in the upcoming weeks. Multiple trips to Round Valley and other water locations in the area to continue training a fully operational team in case of a natural disaster. We have 3 junior members in the fire department under the age of 18. Hoping to track more through public interaction and spring and summer months continue. And then the Board of Engineers meetings are on the 3rd Thursday every month. All members of council and public welcome to attend. And that covers most of the fires. EMS, emergency services, OEM, we have calls answered for January 128, 127 for February, so kind of steady there. Into March, 97 so far. Where are we at? We got another week or so left of the month here, so we're getting there. A lot of their other issues are related to the fleet, the cars, the vehicles are aging. So again, that's stuff that, you know, Natasha won't have to look at, but the, you know, budgeting stuff coming forward, we have to look at some new vehicles and some repairs and whatever it takes to make sure these guys are out there doing their job every day for us. Current rosters are 14. We have 2 new recent hires and 3 applicants coming in soon. They have their new quarters for the equipment. There's some issues with the new quarters. I'm actually touring there next week to go through some of the problems and discuss other issues that they have there. OEM responses was 3 in a month. There was obviously the fire. There was a tractor trailer crash on Route 22, fire and entrapment with the driver. The OEM folks responded to that with the police department. And there was some fires down up the fire. Wires down on Cherry Avenue near Smalley School. OEM's first quarterly meeting next week, April 2nd, and the first EMC meeting of the year is scheduled late April. And then the OEM has 2 new members joining, bringing their total roster to 16. And the Parking Commission did not meet, so I have nothing to speak on that. I'm out of breath.
Anybody have a question? Very good. Councilman Lopez, Chair of the Personnel Administration of Ordinance.
All right, let's start with the budget presentation took place last meeting. Local taxes provided like about 24% of the budget, and then most of the aid comes from the government. This year, they picked up like 1.8 million additional dollars additional from last year. But they are not foreseeing that they keep going for previous years, but this year they got 1.8 million more. There is an increase in the budget for about $280,000. The enrollment went up from last year, about 140 students, and before we started to pay information, only about 1.5% of those come from any of the veterans. All right, so just get that clear. So with that additional money, they are, of course, you know, hiring teachers to enhance the programs that they have, and they are also hiring a new assistant superintendent. The tax rates for last year was 1.165%. This year went down to 1.17%. 1.117%. So it's a little decrease, 0.048%, which will result in an average decrease on the school portion of the taxes of about $170 for the average price or value tax for this year. So that's regarding the Board of Ed. For the historic preservation, they were working on writing up the nomination for the library to be on the National Registry of Historic Landmarks. They consulted with a historical architecture, somebody that has a lot of experience of that, and that person advised that based on the 1985 survey, last one we had, information from that survey, the library will not be eligible for these you know, nominations. So they advised to change the draft, change the approach based on some more information that we will provide, so that hopefully that nomination will be accepted and the library could be or put in the National Registry of Historic Landmarks. It's going to take time because it's a very tedious process, and they're working on it, and something that has to be done correctly if we want to get it done right. On the personal administration and ordinances, as you saw, we agreed on the promotion of now Chief Denoto and Captain Schwartz. We're still looking to hire for an assistant clerk, and then also for a CFO or an assistant CFO that will currently replace the great person here. I'll let you go, but we're looking. Those are my reports.
Any questions? Councilman Steve, Chairman of Economic Development.
So with regard to the Economic Development Committee, we continue negotiations with a developer who has been previously approved, but seeking to renegotiate the pilot. Those discussions are ongoing. Tangentially related, we have received notice that I believe it was 2 Mondays ago. The demolition permit was applied for the burned down Meridia building downtown. It was burned down, I believe, in 2020-2021. We're also in discussions with a potential non-residential developer on the south end of town. With regard to the Mountbrook, South Mountbrook Municipal Alliance, they haven't met since January. I've reached out to them multiple times, but haven't received a response as to future meetings. The Recreation Commission did not meet in February, well, in March and February, but we're having a March meeting tomorrow. As Dale said, the pool will be almost ready to go April 30th, and I believe that a celebratory grant opening is kind of scheduled for tomorrow. That's all I have.
Very good. Anybody have any questions? Okay, finally, Councilman Garrett, the zoning construction and code enforcement.
Mayor, inspections for the month. Well, I'm trying to find about 760 inspections in February. We've been assisting public works with hand out notices to residents of the upcoming streets sweeping season. We're in the process of reviewing the demolition permit for the radio building demolition finally. The demo of 141 and 143 Boston Avenue buildings that were destroyed by the fire have been completed and reopened. Pine Street is also reopened. Drove past it today, so there was not fire there about a couple weeks ago. You guys did a great job. Just to touch on that, we've heard now Chief Gianato speak with communications with the departments. Radio communications are on my YouTube video. If anyone wants to look them up, it's really impressive to hear the chiefs, fire marshal, all take control of that fire with county officials. It's very, very soon and impressive that the firemen, I guess, that's something that you want to use as a model to teach people how to communicate with fire. And that's just worth noting because that happened here in Boundary. We're also reviewing a permit for reconstruction of the ticket booth for the Boundary Theater, which is also really cool and exciting to bring that back. And we're also implementing online payments to fire safety, zoning construction, for you to use our residents to access permits and make payments. The Shade Tree Commission had a meeting on the 14th of this month. They received the Tree City USA status of the 20th year. They're also taking a big initiative with the community, working with summer camp programs, partnering with the school district for the Arbor Day event, and partnering also with the Boundary Women's Club for tree planting this year. Their Facebook page is up to date and active, so if anyone wants to join the Boundary Shade Tree Commission. And that's pretty much, I have nothing to report on the Board of Health. Also, Mayor, you touched on having a small business owner on council. I too own a small business. I know that you guys support your heart with your business, and it costs you money, your own money, to stay afloat. I have seen the red tent at plenty of events, so you guys are represented. It's just, you know, we want to be there for you. So I know that, you know, you have that help with the program right now. We just want to let you know that you are being heard and will continue to be heard no matter what happens. Thank you.
Anyone have any other questions? Okay, very good. All right, our introduction of ordinances for the first reading, ordinance 2025-12, on ordinance provided for the various 2025 capital acquisitions and improvements by the borough of Boundbrook in the county of Somerset, state of New Jersey, appropriating $1,877,700 there, and authorized issuance of $1,788,000 in bonds and notes of the borough to finance part of the cost thereof. I need a motion to pass for a public hearing on March 8th.
Right.
Need a motion? Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Rinchevich?
Yes.
Councilman Garrett?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Steve?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance for our final reading and consideration, the second reading, ordinance 2025-08. An ordinance amending the supplemental chapter 21, land use section 21-10, zoning regulations of the revised general ordinance of the borough of Boundbrook to repeal the MU2 district and creating a new B1 district.
Need a motion to open to the public?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Ma'am, would you like to come up and thank you for hanging out?
Thank you, I appreciate it. I guess my question is, what's the purpose? I mean, what I noticed was that several of the changes in the regulations of the old zoning code were similar. It was like an example of all that, and I was wondering what was the purpose of these changes, and I stopped by Borough Hall earlier this week and asked about the changes, the impact, and unfortunately I wasn't able to get any answers, so I just wanted to know what's the point, what's the purpose, and just a good question.
Anybody from the council want to, we have our planner here, so I don't know if you want, or you want, Councilman Speedy, you want?
I'll let the planner speak as well, but the purpose from the point of view of the council is we have heard a lot of negative feedback about the mixed use being permitted on Route 28 with, higher building heights than was previously permitted, leading to higher densities and a negative impact on neighboring residents who have lived here sometimes over 50 years. So this ordinance is to repeal the designation of mixed use with residential as a permitted use, which when the vote was in the back, it only became in effect back in, what, 2019? I'm sorry?
Ordinance was adopted in
2018. So it's to bring the permitted uses back to what we're hearing from the community as being keeping the existing residents and neighboring residential communities.
So what, excuse me, what you're saying is there are a number of non-conforming uses that this
No, we're removed. So as it's written currently, a mixed-use development can be built up to three stories tall with ground floor for commercial and residential on the second and third floors. This would remove the permitted use of residential within the district and reduce the height maximum from three stories to 2.5 stories and from 35 feet to 35 feet, bringing down scale and reducing the permitted uses back to the local business, which is what the zone is historically permitted.
And the building that we that I occupy among other people, we're at 215 West Union. Two lots over, 213. Sort of an adjacent, but the old flower shop, which I was really sorry to see go, evidently is going for this new zoning permit, the construction of some kind of an apartment building there.
No, so my understanding is that under existing state statute, the mixed use zone that was in effect when that apartment building was proposed is the zoning that governs at the time that the planning board hears the application. However, moving forward, if a developer wanted to propose a similar mixed-use apartment building as is currently proposed on the Emeritus Forest lot on another property in that zone, it would not be a permitted use. So this would not
How would that affect the current, I guess I thought, well, there are a number of, there are insurance companies with an insurance that would come with law offices. It would. It was not affected. This is my major concern, especially because I was looking at what we were looking at. Well, those commercials would continue to be permitted.
It's these mixed-use three-stories apartment complexes that will no longer be approved.
Well, thank you very much for your answers. I appreciate them. And I appreciate having I've been to the city, so go back to my past.
Anyone else from the public on this ordinance? Yes, ma'am?
Yes, that's one of the most important, and I was just wondering, I'm one of the homes that recently been put on vacation. How will that affect my property?
Well, your property is on Vossler, is it within the current use zone?
Yeah, that's now being on.
It would return back to the local business. But that would, if your existing use, it doesn't affect existing uses. It's in the event that another building might be more, we want to come into town and build in that area that would no longer be a community use.
You have a house?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it's not affecting.
It's not.
Those would be considered micro.
Yes.
They're protected under the land use law to the extent that they're not changed. Expansions, for now, would be, it is enough.
Anyone else wish to come up and comment on this?
Hi, Trina Boats, and my question is, moving from mixed use to business, what is the proposed vision for Union Avenue? If we're only looking to put businesses on Union Avenue, what and how is that going to put in funds into the community of offset? What's the vision of the land? Are we going to have a bunch of restaurants, gas stations? What's the plan? Do we have a plan, or are we just deciding that we're going to go for mixed use?
Well, local businesses are already able to pay taxes. Additionally, there's been comment about vacant storefronts. In my recollection, the only vacant storefronts are the American Explorers property, which has been owned by a developer for us in several years. The old cell phone store off of Thompson. I don't believe there's another one where the old 7-Eleven and the pizza store was. So there isn't a scourge of vacant storefronts, and these are rentals that pay into the tax base. It's just that we have heard from an overwhelming number of residents that are saying that this type of mixed-use development in their backyards is not what's wanted, contrary to what they invested and built their lives and boundaries for. And that they don't support it. And we are listening to the people and responding in a way that makes future uses along Route 28 more compatible with existing residents and reflect the vast majority of town.
And how did you gather this information? You said I'm certain because I didn't receive any notice of this information. I live very close to
opening that. We receive communications from constituents almost every day, and I think the greatest survey that was taken was back on November 5th.
What's
and the presidents overwhelmingly voted for in the direction of town, and we are following the voice of the people.
But you're saying you're following the voice of the people, but I'm asking the question. What's the percentage of people? How did this information sent out, and how did it come back? Because again, I live very close to here, and I did not receive any information.
As I'm saying, the survey was the election. And as my opponent is
election,
you know very well that the
issue. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
May I respond? Well, I would submit that an election is a survey of how the town wants to proceed forward, and the development of Route 28 and redevelopment in the town was a central issue of the election. And both prior, during, and after the election, even up through today, we're receiving communications from our constituents who are against this type of high-density development in their backyards. And we're listening to them. We are putting residents.
I would love to see a developer.
And you have my
because the election was not a survey, it was an election.
You have my survival.
Yes, thank you.
And I guess, I have a question, Trina.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's, right, two sides of the coin here, right? There's the folks that want this development.
And please hear me, I'm not for just buildings everywhere.
Want development, and we're not against development, but we're against thoughtful development, right? Not thoughtless. So we right now have 13 apartment buildings, right? With another 8 in the queue, for a total of 22 apartment buildings. So you have to question, to what end, right? So is that good, sound developing, right? To have 22 apartment buildings in a 1.6 square mile town? I mean, I don't know, maybe you want 30 apartment buildings. It doesn't make sense, right? I mean, putting this back to a B1 zone, a business zone, it's been a business zone, right? And we should be attracting new businesses, right? Downtown and on Route 22. Route 28, I'm sorry. So part of, right, our task here, our job of the BBRP is to attract businesses and to develop thoughtfully, right? Not thoughtlessly. So, I think if I was the mayor of the town and to say that we have 22 potential apartment buildings in a 1.6 square miles town is just crazy. It's crazy. Where, to what end, and to how many people do you want to bring into town? I'm just saying it out to everyone, right? Not to you, Trina. Yeah. Take it personally.
Definitely.
Yeah. To what end, right? So you need to really look at, development in a much broader scope than what we're getting, right? To pull an apartment building, architectural drawings off the shelf and say, look, this is what we're going to get in the town. I mean, look at downtown. Just because we plopped an apartment building on every block, is that good development? Does it look good downtown? What is it brought? I don't know. I don't see what it's brought, to the town as a benefit, and it's out of scale and out of control. And this is an effort to reel in and to really look at the master plan and the town as a whole, and to develop with respect to our neighbors. Right? The people behind the Lure have lost their sunset, right? Because of the mass structure and the high density of that building. I have one behind me, right? I lost my sunrise. Thank you, Bellbrook, for stealing my sunrise, And it's not about me, but it's about respecting your neighbors and a quality of life, and to develop thoughtfully. And that's what's not taking place. So these are some of the changes that are going to be coming.
Thank you for that. Thank you. I could just say, too, mm-hmm. we also have to look at the fact that there is a housing crisis where there's not a lot of housing available. So if you have two people who want to move into the community, there also has to be other options for them who cannot afford housing. Who can't afford a house, but they can afford
apartments. Well,
I'm not saying I want this town to be full of apartments, but my question for 28 is, what's the vision?
Well, we're looking at affordable housing now with our planner, so we are addressing that. We have an apartment building downtown that has one floor that's operating as an Airbnb. Does the town even know? Does any of the council members even know that one whole floor? So you have no idea who's coming into that apartment building, right? There's plates from out of state. There's no background checks, right? And so this whole floor, so you have things like running amok, and because, even the inspections at the apartment buildings, I know people have multifamily homes that said they haven't been inspected for years. So, I don't know. We're adding to this and we're straining our resources, and I can go on and on.
Okay, let's try to go to the ordinance rather than overall development, so you can have them. Yeah, okay, next person. You can still come up, just kind of speak into the ordinance. So,
I wanted to make a comment to Councilman David, Councilman Lita, Councilman Warren. I've been hearing you talking, and I guess that this is all new to me, but I think we all can agree that we wanted this to run. Mm-hmm. Right? And I've heard you speaking about, I guess, wanting to protect some areas to bring it back to where it was, to the different area. And it's funny enough that I wasn't chased and unimarried for many years, so I know the struggles, I've seen the empty buildings, and I want to bring quality of buildings and diversity. So this town is diverse. I think you guys need to come together and understand that it's more business, yes. I think you are aware that you need to bring people to the value shop here in Brownwood. And one of the things that I wonder when I'm in the office and I see this big apartment building right next to me, and I don't see people walking outside. I see them like when they come and they leave. And I'm like, I wonder what they buy. I wonder where they shop. I wonder where they go to get their taxes done. Because they're not coming to any of the business here in Brownwood. So, for what you guys are trying to build here, you also need to consider bringing the population, the residents, and the business together. And yes, if you want to have diversity, do that. Because at the end of the day, this is going to work in the benefit of all. And I think that's what I wanted to tell you as a closing remark. Thank you.
By the way, as a tax preparer myself, I appreciate you taking the time here at the end of March, because I have about a 75 return backlog sitting back in my office right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Okay, we'll go to 516 on the Second Street. I think we actually heard tonight a couple of things that development has actually gotten us, right? $2 million in the budget this year. That's what we get from development. And in fact, on Union Avenue, there are no pilots. So people are building at full cost, which actually drives down the cost of taxes in this town even further, because now they're offsetting everybody's taxes in this room as a home because it pays into the school taxes, right? So it is in effect immediate. Besides the what else do we get? I mean, I think you heard today that the minimum average is $800 per year right now that we're getting as what we're getting. I think we also forget that this place was a flood zone with four strip clubs, one room dump at some point. There was a ton of vacant properties. I'm assuming you're not that familiar with Union Avenue. There's eight properties that are vacant right now. Or you can take a drive through your town and actually find out why you have a corner piece that's been vacant for 20 years. You have a hockey place that's been, that used to be a hockey place, that whole strip, three stores side by side by side with broken windows that has been vacant for the last 10 to 8 years. And when we try to find people to go in there, nobody wants to go in there because you have the building next door that's vacant. I'm assuming there's pest control problems there, which I'm assuming the neighbors that are enjoying the sunset are also enjoying the rats, right? Because that's typically what happens. As a planner told us, making buildings, bringing down property values, increase crime typically, not a good thing for anyone. So, as the Trump argument is that the election was demanding, we also should take into account that the misinformation that you guys have actually spread for a decade now, that pilots don't pay any taxes. I mean, that was basically what you guys said for up until last year, right? And today we find out that it's $2 million in our budget this year. Everybody saves $800, that we have $8 million coming in, that this place was almost broke one storm away from me taking over the state. So, I'm glad that you guys are here right now. Linda, you continue to say that this is thoughtless development. Unfortunately, what you're doing here is the only thoughtless thing, because there is no plan, there is, in fact, this ordinance contradicts our master plan. There is a master plan that was done over a span of years by multiple councils, by multiple planning boards, with a lot of thought, a lot of community input. I was at this multiple sessions, hundreds of people came out to tell you our town needs change. And now that change is arriving, we are ignoring all the plans that were out there, the plans that we have today. You guys are in charge. I don't get that it's has no plan. It's just the few people that called you by phone, I'm assuming your friends, I'm assuming the same people that you Miss Lee on your Facebook pages. I'm assuming these the old people that don't actually understand. And we get them here and you tell them that they're saving money, they tell you, no, they're not. Because you've tricked them. Tricking people into believing that we're ruining something for our community.
Okay.
The questions are asked by the board here, the council, we're allowed to respond to this, right?
All right.
Okay. All right. So again, everything you guys have said here is incorrect. No plans. You have zero plans, zero vision. Incorrect on almost all your numbers. Rethink this. And on top of it all, you haven't given notice, which the borough is about to give about soon. So, how would you say?
Notice was given.
For the record, everyone, notice was given.
In advance.
When?
In advance of the hearing.
Today's meeting, the first meeting, planning board, nobody received notices. So that's actually correct.
Okay. Anyone else from the public wish to comment on that? Yes. Yes. Yeah, just a clarifying question.
Okay. Hi, Kristen Colbert, Blue Run Grove Avenue. So I don't own a property in this specific zone, but if I did, if I go to sell that property down the road, if this changes into effect, can I only sell it to a commercial business? Like that house today in that zone, can I only sell it to a commercial business?
With the only thing we would be using the LDS.
Okay. So that would concern me if I was really covering it.
The answer is no.
So if you have a house today, if you don't sell your property, right, then you can only sell it to a commercial business.
No. You can sell your home to another home.
Okay,
that's right. It doesn't stop. You know, you asked me if you were to sell your house. If you were to build and sell, not your house,
okay.
You can only build a business. As I explained earlier, an existing home has a right to exist. You sell it anybody you want.
And it is the existing
home. You sell it somewhere. Yes. Yes.
All right, can I get a motion to close to public comment? Motion to close. Motion. Second. All right, I need a motion to move the ordinance be passed on second reading and advertised according to law. Motion. A second. Second. Any discussion from the council? Mayor.
I do have a concern, politics aside. So I received a lot of concern, letters, emails regarding the mayor's first voting. It's gonna pass anyway, because it's already been presented. But you do have to acknowledge that if this was an excuse, that building would still be standing there. And it wouldn't be somebody to come in and how you looking at it, like, oh, you say the building, you wouldn't say the building. As a business owner, we do have almost 10 vacant properties. Mediterranean vacant has been vacant for some time. Probably ever since I've lived here. If business was booming like that, we wouldn't have so many buildings. And my concern is to limit that now to just commercial is not going to help us. I mean, I don't want to see skyscrapers on Union Avenue, but I also don't want to live next to a 24-hour car wash. That's my only concern. And I just don't think that we're helping the borough and its residents by doing this. You can limit it to, you know, two floors of residential above commercial. It'll help someone come in and actually make supplement their income and not just hope that the business flourishes after spending that kind of money. That's a big investment to make. That me as a business owner, I wouldn't make in number. Or else I would have already done something for it. That just limits opportunity. So that's my concern, and obviously the opportunity will affect the numbers and everything else in town. So.
Uh,
I recognize your concern. The same concern was expressed back in 2018 when the prior borough planner recommended making the Eppinger's property as well as the Downbrook Apartments property a mix of mixed use on 28, counting 28, and strictly residential going up to 5 or 7 stories deep in the properties. And at that time, there were multiple vacancies in the Eppinger's building. If you look at the Eppinger's building now, the entire ground floor is occupied. And I'm not sure if the entirety of the second floor is occupied, but I can tell you from experience with my daughter, the majority of the second floor is occupied by a gymnasium. So these properties that have historically been local business, even though they may go through cycles when they are not fully occupied, they have returned to local business uses that are supporting and amplifying the lives of the existing residents. So I share your concern, but I would submit that there are plenty of other things that could be done to the properties in Union Avenue that are more in keeping with neighborhoods and the structures that are all there.
Go ahead. And again, I know that we all want what is good for the town. I just have some questions. How is it different to have a mixed three-story building, business in the first floor, apartments, even if the businesses are empty, you're still generating revenue from the apartments, provided they follow all the regulations that certainly follow. I agree with that. But then it's okay to have a 2.5 stories commercial building. That would still steal your sunsets and your sunrise. I mean, you want something, and I don't want 28 foot apartments, that's not the point. Again, so what's the big difference? You have, and again, you have these empty buildings that have been empty for years. So what's the plan? I mean, the businesses, unfortunately, because I wish they will, are not coming. Like Sean was saying, if you're an investor, you want to have something that at least could generate a little income in a fixed basis, as opposed to just risk it and open your business and invest, and then maybe nothing happened because there's no new people moving into town because there's no housing. And again, I don't want apartment buildings everywhere. But we have an aging population as well, so we have to make a dynamic transition following the rules, following the ordinances. I don't want skyscrapers. But again, I just don't see the purpose. Again, taking into account that all of these buildings have been empty for so many years, I don't know. I don't see why we have to do this.
This stuff is going to change, and the commercial space on these apartment buildings are mostly also vacant. Are they not?
But they are generated.
But they are vacant. But the commercial space is vacant, so limiting now to just vacant properties, I mean to commercial properties, you're going to have just that. So that's my fear.
That's the argument for the one I was just going to go over 28, three stories.
Not everybody has applied for that.
I mean, if you still wanted to build a mixed-use apartment building,
well, you're still
waiting for some programs if it was deemed appropriate. I mean, I think the planning board, and there's several members here, heard an earful from multiple residents prior to being announced at last planning board's hearing that the new Verizon application was going to be moved to April. I don't think it's any secret how the town feels about this mixed-use designation on Route 28.
And we keep saying the town. I don't know. I mean, I haven't received any survey. I haven't received any questionnaire or nothing. And we keep saying the election was a Monday. Well, I'm not going to get into politics, but it was not. It was several other factors that gave the result of the election. But it's not a Monday because people don't want these.
Okay.
And I'm up for regulation. So my point is, okay. I don't see the purpose of these. If nothing will change. That's it.
Okay, anyone else? Oh, it's a roll call.
Council President Brinchevich?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
No.
Councilman Lopez?
No.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Abstained.
Councilman Speed?
Yes. Okay, the ordinance passes 3-2. All right, introduction, discussion, and resolutions. Resolutions below are submitted to government body for review and adopted by one motion. Separate discussion is desired. The resolution may be removed by council action. Anyone wish to remove 278, any of them to 282? Hearing none.
I just have a question on 278. I just want to be clear on this. That's the county providing busing for like our senior citizens, is that what that is? Okay. Okay, that was it.
All right, then I need a motion. A motion to accept.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I need a unfinished business. Any new business?
Yes. Mayor and Council and residents, the tax collector held a New Jersey property tax relief seminar here for around 88 residents, and it was a very informative update on the three programs that are offered for tax relief. So if there are any questions, we do have the presentation available, and we are scheduling for the state to come out to help residents fill in the appropriate application in the fall. Also, the pool is scheduled to open Memorial Day weekend. We are going to announce a ribbon cutting ceremony in the upcoming weeks, but the official grand opening will be Saturday, May 24th.
That's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else have anything? All right, then I need approval of vouchers, 25-283, resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $1,589,103.92. A motion?
Motion.
A second?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Brinchevich?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Speed?
Yes. Okay, we're once again open to the public. Anyone wishes to approach?
I just wanted to come back up to correct some information that was presented. So I have my laptop with me and did a quick look search on the expenses for the 2024 tree lighting, which amounted to $17,000, which is a big difference from the 26 that was mentioned. So, just want to clarify that. We're also seeking, in the event that our budget is actually hurt, to diversify our funding. So as already presented, we received an $11,000 grant to support Riverfest. We're also applying for a CHIP grant this year. We have a proposal from a grant writer that is excited to work with us to find funding to support events, programming, and infrastructure improvements for the district. I'm also, as many of you know, I am not the executive director of the organization. I was not hired to be the executive director. I'm a managing consultant, and taken on the responsibilities, some of the responsibilities of an executive director in order to move the organization forward. I do consult for the Perth Amboy Business Improvement Corporation. I can tell you that they recently did a district expansion, which brought their budget over $1 million this year.
Nice.
Yes.
I thought the size of the, I mean, the last one I saw was like 155.
Yes.
I'm like, how are they?
They did expand, good. So their district is larger. No. They have larger properties that are contributing to the assessment.
Yep.
So that they've increased their budget, which has allowed them to do a lot more. My other hat is as the director of a statewide advocacy organization that advocates for successful, efficient economic growth in downtown. I say that not for any other reason, but part of what we do education-wise is work with statewide organizations like the Main Street Program, the Main Street New Jersey Program, which is a state program, and the National Main Street Program, which is a national program for Main Streets. And one of the tenets of both of those programs involves events, right? And Councilman, you know, I agree with you that there may be an opportunity for us to streamline those events and maybe look at changing some of those events and looking at which events are more successful than others. I agree with you in that.
They're successful events, very successful events. I'm just, my concern was, does it meet the purpose? The ones you're doing, top notch. I mean, the rails. Well, everything, well done. I mean, it's just, you know, I'd like to see more. Just more, not community, but business focused.
And I'm certainly, I think we're certainly open to that. Okay. But I think that undeniably, the research shows a direct correlation between community events and driving foot traffic to our downtown.
Sure.
And also, there being an ancillary marketing effect for the folks who come out to the events, right? So maybe some of the folks who came out to the tree lighting, right, decided that today was not the day that they were going to go eat at Rosina's, or maybe it wasn't the day that they were going to go eat at Douglas.
Yeah.
Right? But the experience that they have in a walkable downtown, right, will lead them to want to come back and visit some of those other businesses. So there is a direct correlation between events and successful economic growth and economic vitality.
Now, just listening to Roger for a second, by the way, that night, you couldn't find an empty table at any of the restaurants downtown. Alaska was full, Douglas was full, Little Wings. So some people did go to the
restaurant. Yes, thank you, Councilman. As I mentioned, we're certainly in favor of meeting with council, right, to talk about mutually beneficial goals. I will say that I have sent emails to this entire council, and there have been emails that have gone unanswered about grand openings, about meeting to discuss strategic partnerships, about meeting to discuss our goals and priorities for the coming year. And so I say that not as an insult, but I say that to say that we are more than open to working together to figure out, you know, where that area is, right? I'll tell you this, you know, a lot has been said today about politics. I don't do politics then, right? I work in Democratic communities the same way that I work in Republican communities. I worked in Somerville. I'm doing a feasibility study in Dinellen, which has a Republican mayor. I do consulting work in Perth Amboy. So for me, it's not about politics. For me, it's about successful economic growth, growing our local economies, making our downtowns a destination, right? And making sure that we have the infrastructure to do so. And so when we approach council about selecting, removing board members and placing other board members in their place, it's not a matter of politics, it's a matter of the fact that we comprise a board strategically that represents our business community. And we want to make sure that our business community is represented at all levels. And I think that that is best served, right, when the organization maintains the autonomy, right, that is recommended in all of the best practices that exist across the state. If you reach out to the New Jersey Business Action Center, they will provide best practices, right, that include this information. The Department of Community Affairs, Division of Local Planning Services, also makes the same recommendations, as does the Blaustein School, right? And so, you know, to us, it's not a power struggle, right? To us, it's about making sure that we can effectively work together as two organizations, right? There is a benefit to us being an independent nonprofit, right? If our grant writer finds a grant that supports road improvements in the downtown, right, we would love to turn that over to the municipality and say, hey guys, apply for this grant and we will be your nonprofit partner, right? So the strategic partnerships are what is important to us. And I will end by saying, I apologize if I'm a little bit passionate, right? My father is an entrepreneur. He came to this country from Cuba when he was 3 years old.
and he has been an entrepreneur all of his life. Right? At 5 years old, he was shining shoes, and I have his shoe shine box that says 26 cents. It was 25 cents plus 1 cent tax. Right? After that, he had a paper route where he delivered newspapers and TV guides. Right? When I was a kid, he started his own business that he has grown and has been in business for over 30 years with offices in New Jersey and Florida. And so I know what it's like to grow up in a household with two immigrant parents who have invested blood, sweat, and tears into building a business, not just to support their family, but also to support their community. So again, my passion, right, does not come from a place of being combative or not wanting to work together. My passion comes from a place of understanding, right, what our businesses go through every day just to stay open. And I'll close by saying, you know, we do great events, and thank you for recognizing that, Councilman. But we've also provided direct business services, right? This year, we did a two-part marketing series to assist our businesses with understanding how to market their business in a changing economy. We did a storefront mastery workshop where we helped our business community understand how to dress their windows and manage their storefront in a way that's going to be appealing to that traffic, that new traffic that's coming in because of the development that's happening. We held a legal workshop where we provided free legal services to our businesses who were interested in learning more or had issues with labor law formation, right, and all of those different things that many of us who are first-generation Americans and entrepreneurs don't really understand well, right? All of those things were services that we provided to the community and have plans to continue to do this year. And so again, right, respectfully, we request that council hear our budget so that we can continue to do the work. And we're certainly willing to have an open dialogue and maybe even a workshop prior to that budget presentation so that we can work together to make sure that our budget priorities align together with the goals and priorities of council and the residents and stakeholders in the borough. So thank you.
Would you guys be willing to keep everything open for the driveway to incorporate the proposed board members to the board members and have a united, integrated board for the city?
So just to be clear, so our bylaws say that we can have 7 but no more than 9 board members. With the names that we submitted that were already duly appointed, right, we had, I believe it was 7. Maybe 6. So that leaves the opening for us to fill 2 of those seats, right, as trustees. We also have the ability to have 2 alternates on the board in the event that a board member can't make it. And so I think, you know, part of what was proposed in a letter that was sent to council was to interview all of the recommendations, right, and decide which 2 board members were the best fit, right, to serve as trustees, and then potentially open up those 2 additional seats to the other 2 recommendations as alternates. And so I think that, you know, in the spirit of not disenfranchising those members who went through all the appropriate channels to be appointed to the board, you know, I think that, you know, it certainly makes sense, right? We want to work together. And so, you know, I think that was the recommendation as to not disenfranchise those members that want to continue to serve and were duly appointed, you know, by our board, but also incorporate the names that were recommended by council.
And Natalie, I really think you guys should go at 9, just because of my experience working with you guys last year. There was quite a few meetings where not enough even board members showed up to do any voting on anything. You couldn't even vote on minutes. So
yep.
I think that's a great idea to go with 9 members, honestly.
Thank you. And it wouldn't require a change. I think our bylaws already state that.
Yeah.
So we can certainly take that out.
Just for the sake of function.
Anyone else? We're going to have to go into a quick executive session.
when we come out, we will adjourn and we'll vote on anything. So we have a motion to go into executive session.
One second.
All those in favor? Thank you everyone for coming. You want to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion, second.
All in favor?
Aye. Sorry, for adjourn.
Thank you for,
all right. But I still need you.
You're still recording.